Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to read verse 50 and 51 as we get into the word tonight. Appreciate Pastor asking me to speak this evening. Just want God to do what God wants to do tonight. Let's read Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 and 51. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Father, I thank you for this word. Lord, I know that it is already anointed, and God, I just pray that tonight, God, for just a little while, you will anoint your servant, oh God, Lord, that you will anoint me to preach, Lord, under the anointing, God, that my focus will be clear, oh God, and that I will hear you clearly tonight, God. Pray that this word takes root in every heart, and Lord, that when we leave here tonight, God, we leave here with a greater sense of who you are and your presence in our lives. And God, I thank you. Thank you tonight, God, for all that you're going to do. You may be seated. Matthew chapter 27, 50 and 51, we're reading about the temple, that holy place when Jesus died, and as it is worded in many places, as he gave up the ghost and he died. We see that in the temple, that veil was rent. Now understand, in the temple, in that holy place in the tabernacle was separated from the Holy of Holies by a veil. And no one was allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies, that most holy place, except for the high priest. And he would only enter in once a year on the Day of Atonement to offer the blood of sacrifice and incense. Now, according to Josephus, he was a first century Jewish historian. He says that this veil was somewhere near 60 feet high and 4 inches thick. He says that horses tied to each side of this veil could not pull it apart. But here in Matthew, we read that the veil of the temple was torn from top to the bottom, torn apart. That thing that separated the holy place from the most holy place was now gone. Somebody's got a phone call. So this means that now there is no more a God-placed separation between us and God. Amen? That separation, Brother Aaron, that used to be there is now gone. So I have to ask you tonight, as I've prayed and poured over this message, I have to ask you tonight, when was the last time that you stepped into the presence of God? When was the last time that you went beyond where that veil used to be? Because it's not there anymore. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to have a priest to go into that area anymore and offer up atonement for our sins. We can boldly go before the throne of grace to find help in our time of need. We can go to God anytime, anywhere. There is no God-placed separation there anymore. Thank God, there's no God-placed separation there anymore. But when was the last time that you went beyond where that veil used to be?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not asking when was the last time you were in a good service. I had a good service this morning. Brother Russell, you did an awesome job. Yeah. Did a very good job. Very good. Look forward to next time. That makes you nervous, but. But when was the last time that you stepped behind that veil? Was it when we had a good service last time, a couple weeks ago? We had an awesome. awesome service around here. People running the altars, people crying in the altars, people running the aisles. I said altars, people running the aisles, people weeping before God, people dancing in the Spirit. We had a move of God. But when was the last time you went beyond that veil? When was the last time you experienced it? You know, we've heard people say a lot of times, boy, I really felt those chill bumps going up and down my spine. And for most of us, that means I really felt the presence of God. But there's always that downer in the bunch that said, no, I think that was just a draft coming through the room. And maybe for them, it was just a draft coming through the room. But I want you to think about what keeps you from being able to go beyond where that veil used to be. When did you step into God's presence last? And I'm concerned because I feel like and I believe that in the day that we're living, there are times that nobody, that a lot of people don't stand before the presence of God or stand in the presence of God unless they're in a church service where God is moving. That I'm concerned that that's their only exposure. And tonight, if that's you, if the only time that you are in the presence of God is when we're in this sanctuary and God is moving, I want to encourage you tonight to pull up a little closer. Because there's no God-placed veil there anymore. There's no God-placed obstacle anymore. That it is open and it's free to you.
Yes.
So if the only time you're getting into the presence of God is when you are here, I want to encourage you to pull up. If there's no God-placed separation, what is keeping you from entering in? Maybe you know and maybe you don't know. But hopefully some things that I share tonight will help you see exactly where you stand. Because what I want to do is draw a parallel between what the priests had to do and what we do. What the priests had to go through, the construction of the temple. And I am not a Bible scholar, I'm not a theologian, I'm not a Bible historian. So I'm just going to touch the very surface of some things tonight, and hopefully that will be enough to get us to look at where we are and what is keeping us from going further in the Lord. Now understand that the high priest did not just stumble into the Holy of Holies. It wasn't an accident. He wasn't just milling through the temple and just found himself in the Holy of Holies. That did not happen. The Holy of Holies was a place of reverence. The priest didn't just go marching in there, flip on a light, and announce his presence. It was a holy place. And it was to be treated with reverence. It was to be treated with respect. There was a certain way that the priest had to, that certain things that he had to wear, certain things that he had to do to prepare himself to enter in to the presence of God. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I believe tonight, church, that many of us have lost our fear and our reverence of Almighty God. I believe tonight that we don't understand and that we don't show God proper reverence. Not even in the house of God. And I'll tell you, you're not just going to nonchalantly wander into his presence. There must be preparation. It's not just going to happen. If you want to stand in the presence of God and you want to be in his presence, you are going to have to be purposeful about it. In the outermost part of the temple, and like I said, I'm not going to go in great detail in any of these because we could study the tabernacle for a year on end and never hit it all. But the court of the Gentiles was around the outside, and anybody could enter there. It was the largest of the courts. Then you go through the beautiful gate into the court of women. There were chambers within the court of women, and this was the place where the Israelite women could go into worship. But a little further in, also in the outer court, there was the brazen altar. And they could not get to the most holy place without stopping at the brazen altar. This represented a place of sacrifice. Something had to die. Something had to die. at this brazen altar. This was, we saw represented as Jesus Christ went to the cross, and the word said that he was led as a lamb before its slaughter, before the shearers. He was a perfect sacrifice for us. That has already been done. That price has already been paid. That sacrifice has already been taken care of. But there's another sacrifice tonight that only you can take care of. Romans chapter 12 tells us that we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Nobody can present you before God as a reasonable sacrifice, as a holy sacrifice. That's on you. You have to be the one to do that. You have to be the one to go to that symbolic brazen altar and give yourself to Christ as a sacrifice. Lord, I'm no longer my own, but God, I'm yours tonight. I'm committing everything that I am, everything that I ever hoped to be. God, I put it on the altar tonight. That's the brazen altar. That's that sacrifice. And we cannot go any further in our pursuit for God and his presence until we spend some time at that brazen altar.
Right. Yes.
We have to go there. We like the idea of Jesus sacrificing himself. And we take advantage of that. And thank God he did. But we think it's too much sometimes. We think it's just too much for him to expect that we would return ourselves to him in sacrifice. The word tells me that's our reasonable duty. Also in the outer court was the laver. This was a bronze bowl, and it was filled with water daily. And the priests would come to this laver, and they would cleanse themselves and wash themselves and purify themselves before ministry. See, gold represented purity, but this bowl was not gold. It was bronze, which represented the need for purity. Church, if I've ever seen a time when there's a need for purity, it's today.
Yes.
Look around. Come on, next month's coming up. It's June. You all know what happens in June? June Pride Month. Come on, there's a need for purity in the world today. And this bronze bowl, this represented that need for purity, and it taught the priests that they had a need for purity and that they must spend some time at the laver. They couldn't just walk into the presence of God with the filth and the stench of this world on them. They had to go through that cleansing. And church, we have to stop at the laver for that time of cleansing. Let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us and wash us.
Yes, he does.
Nothing can wash away your sins, and nothing can wash you whiter than the blood of Jesus Christ.
Nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We come to God filthy and walking in this world, and man, sometimes I know to God we must stink. This world stinks. There's a stench in this world that I know is a stench in the nostrils of God. But we have to come to that labor, that time. God is a holy God, and he still expects his people to be holy people. God has not changed. I thank God that that wall's brought down, but he still expects his people to be a holy people.
Yes, he does.
We don't like that holiness preaching. We don't like that preaching about that separated life and being holy and pure and righteous before God. Sometimes we don't like to hear that. But if we want to be in the presence of God, we're going to have to go not just to that altar for the sacrifice, but we're going to have to spend some time in that spiritual cleansing.
Yes.
Inside the holy place was a golden lampstand. Outside, everything, nothing was in gold. But inside, this is where we start seeing gold furnishings. There was the golden lampstand. This was not a candle that would burn out and just be replaced by the drugstore candle. This was oil. And in the Bible, oil represents what? It represents power and anointing. And these lamps were continuously filled, and they were not allowed to go out. This was the only light in the holy place. If this light went out, there was total darkness. In the outer court, they had light, they had sunshine, they had the light from the sun, but inside, this was the only light. And it was supposed to stay lit, and it was supposed to stay burning. And I have to ask tonight, as you come to that golden lampstand, is your oil still burning? Is there still a light? Is there still an anointing? Is the Spirit of God still living in you and stirring in you? Are you still walking and working and operating under the Spirit of God and an anointing of God? And if you're not, maybe you need to take a trip back to the golden lampstands and let that oil refresh you all over again. Let that anointing and the Spirit of God come back over your spirit and over your life again. We need that anointing, and we need that fire burning in our lives on a daily basis, 24/7, 365 days a year, and one more on leap year. We need it every day. We need it every hour of every day.
Yes, we do.
We need that anointing. We need that Spirit of God burning inside of us. If that anointing is not upon us, and if His Spirit is not burning in us, how can we ever expect that we're going to minister to somebody else? How are we ever going to expect that we're going to make a difference in somebody else's life if our light goes out? God, help us. Lord, help us. Keep that fire burning. Spend some time at the golden lampstand. And tonight, if you recognize and you realize, God, I know I'm not burning for you like I used to burn for you. God, I know that I'm not experiencing the anointing that I once experienced. I'm not experiencing the anointing that I'd like to experience. God, I know that I'm not walking in the Spirit like I need to be walking in the Spirit. Then tonight, you need to go back to that golden lampstand. You need to be refreshed. Sometimes we lose that anointing and we don't even realize that we have. The Spirit has left us and we don't even know it. Sometimes we're clueless and we don't even care. I know this is not an easy message tonight. I know it's not a popular message, but tonight, the reason that I'm preaching this tonight, and I feel like the reason that God has put this so heavy on my heart is because we are walking so far away from God when He wants to pull us close to Him. He wants to draw us near to Him. He wants us to be in His presence. And we have so many things going on in this world that sometimes we go through a whole day and we've not spent any time with God. Oh, shame on us. Shame on us. Don't run out of oil. Your light needs to shine. Somebody needs to see your light shine.
Most definitely.
And also in this holy place was the table of showbread. It was overlaid with gold, and every day 12 fresh loaves of bread were laid on this table. And priests would come in at a certain time, and they would come together, and they would sit down and eat this bread. Those that were ministering, particularly that day, would join together in unity and break bread together. This represents communion not just with God, but also unity with God and with other people. If something would have kept a priest from being able to go in there and sit down with his brothers and break bread, he would not enter into the Holy of Holies. He wouldn't dare do it. Man, y'all looking at me tonight like you're about ready to run me out. But I'm telling you, church, this was a serious thing. And these men of God knew and they understood that if there was anything between them and a brother, they needed to get it fixed, and they needed to get it fixed right then. And so tonight I tell you, if you need to forgive, forgive. Come on, if there's something between you and somebody else, that may be what's keeping you from entering into the presence of God, and it's not worth it. I don't care what it is, and it doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter the price tag that we put on that. Nothing is worth not being able to enter into the presence of God and not feeling that. I cannot imagine. feeling the presence of God. I don't know what this world does without Him. I cannot imagine not being able to enter into the presence of God. We're so quick to be angry and judgmental and critical. But we've got to be in unity. We have to be in one mind and in one accord. Look what happened on the day of Pentecost. They all came together in one mind and in one accord.
Yes.
And the Holy Ghost blew through that place, and they experienced something in Him they had never experienced before. But they were in unity.
Yes.
They were in unity. They weren't nitpicking each other apart. God help us. If there's any ill will tonight, please take care of it. Please take care of it. It's not worth keeping you from experiencing more of God.
No, it's not.
Also in the holy place was the altar of incense. This was at the heart of the temple. And this was the article of furniture that was closest to the veil. The veil being that separation. It was closest to the veil that would lead them into the Holy of Holies. When they were at that altar of incense, they were close, but they weren't quite there. They were close, but they weren't quite there. This was not an altar of sacrifice, because remember, that was already taking place.
Right.
We already took care of that. But by the time they reached this place, that sacrifice was taken care of at that previous altar. This altar was to burn incense unto God. And only the high priest, certain other priests, could minister at the altar of incense. And this represents tonight, this represents your prayer and your communion with God. This represents your praise and your worship. When you are in true praise and true worship, your praise will go up as an incense before God, and He will either find it acceptable or He will find it not acceptable. And tonight I pray that as we worship God and as we praise God, we do what the Bible says, and we worship Him in spirit and we worship Him in truth. And I pray that as we worship Him, our worship comes up before Him as a sweet smelling savor, acceptable. When I worship God, I want it to be pure. I don't want it to be just to be seen. When you're at that altar of incense, you are close, but you're not quite there. Back in Exodus, they were told not to burn any strange incense, no false worship. Telling you, false worship will not get you into the presence of God. Anyone can go through the motions, and I believe sometimes that some of us who've been raised in this thing, and we've been around this all of our lives, we know that cue to raise your hand. Sometimes we even have to have the preacher to say, come on, raise your hand, lift your hands. Brother Chris stands up here. Can y'all worship the Lord tonight? Shame on us. Nobody should have to tell us to worship God. Nobody should have to beg us to lift our hands and worship God. Nobody should have to coerce us and prod us and push us into worshiping God. He is my God, and He deserves to be praised, and He deserves to be worshiped. And if somebody has to come up beside me and cheerlead me into worshiping Him, I need to go back to that first altar. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I'm afraid tonight, I believe that if we just worship just out of motion, if we just worship because it's just time to, if we just worship because of what other people might think of us, then we're just entertaining. We're just performing. I don't believe God's in that. God wants us to worship with a pure heart.
Yes, He does.
spirit and in truth. He's an almighty God, and he deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. Pure praise and pure worship, not just lip service. I want my praise to be acceptable unto God.
Yes, amen.
And inside the Holy of Holies, once they reach that place, that burning of that incense, they entered into the Holy of Holies. Pastor built the ark several years back, and if it hadn't been such an ordeal to get it loaded up and drag it back in here, I would have asked him to do that. But this ark represented the presence of God, Spirit of God. It held and it housed the presence of God. It was overlaid with gold on the inside and on the outside. Purity, remember? The mercy seat rested at the top of this ark, and this was the most significant place. This was the most significant furnishing in the tabernacle. And once a year, after passing through the outer court, after making sure everything was in place, after all the preparation had been made, the priest, through fear and reverence, would enter into the Holy of Holies. And he would sprinkle that blood of atonement over the mercy seat for the cleansing of the nation of Israel. A priest would not think about entering into the Holy of Holies without that blood. Could not enter into the presence of God without the blood. You cannot expect to experience God without the blood of Jesus first applied to your life, to your heart.
Amen.
Sometimes we wonder, why am I not feeling more of God? Why am I not feeling the presence of God? Do an inventory. God is holy. And we can't just nonchalantly drop into his presence. He's a holy God.
Yes, he is.
And we must prepare to be in his presence. And if you have not been able to come to a place where you feel like you're in the presence of God, I'll tell you tonight, and I will not apologize, it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault if you're not experiencing him. It's not God's fault if you don't know or understand what it is to be in the presence of God. That is not his fault, because he's already made the way. It's already been done. Maybe if you're not experiencing the presence of God, maybe you're still wandering around in the outer court somewhere. Maybe you haven't taken that first step to the altar of sacrifice. Maybe you haven't gone to the laver and been cleansed. Maybe you haven't gone to that golden lampstand where there's always a sufficient flow of oil and fire burning. Maybe you haven't gone to that table of showbread. Maybe you've had to get up and walk away because you weren't in unity. God help us. Jesus. Brother Chris, would you and Sister Tammy come, please? I know this has been a different message. I know that it has. But I believe it's been a needful message. Understanding that that wall has been down, that middle wall of partition has been taken down, and there's no reason that you cannot experience God on a daily basis. And if the only time you ever experience God is when you come into this place, you need to take that first step. When you really want to go swimming, it's not enough just to stand back and watch somebody else swim, is it? When you're really hot and you want to just dive in that creek and cool off, it's not enough for somebody to just walk by and splash up a little on you. See, that's what happens sometimes in church services. You get splashed on. Some of y'all need to go diving. I need to go diving. It's not enough for me just to watch somebody else in the presence of God. That's not enough for me. It used to be. But that's not enough for me anymore. It's not enough. It's just not enough anymore. Stand with me tonight, would you? It's just not enough. And I don't know where your heart is tonight. I don't know where you are with God. You may find yourself in His presence every day, and I hope you do. But I believe in my spirit tonight that there are some who are standing away, and they're standing far off. And God's drawing you. He's saying, I want to spend more time with you. I want to show myself to you in ways that you have never seen me. And I want you to experience me in ways that you don't even know are possible. He's made a way. We let so many things keep us from entering into His presence. Tonight, I implore you to come and take another step.